Good morning, church. If we would turn to Genesis chapter 12, back you up a little bit. Genesis chapter 12. Welcome. Glad you made it a decision to come out and worship and to be a part of our fellowship today. And just pray that God will bless you, strengthen you, and equip you to do the work He has prepared for you. Also, I want to thank John for those kind words at the table about my class Wednesday night. It is true, there's a little work that's expected of you. You don't always have to do that work, but there are some questions, the five same questions I ask of each chapter, and we get into it. I think we have some really, really good discussion. So come on out, be a part of it. Come early, enjoy the meal together, and a wonderful time. Sarah, the mother of nations. You think about that title and how spectacular that is. Maybe how overwhelming that was for her. I mean, what exactly does that mean? Does it mean that she wound up having a very large family and, you know, populating the earth that way so that she can be the mother of nations? Most times, I think when we have our families, our kids, what we are striving for, and that is to have healthy babies, a good family life, and raise them to be young adults, and hopefully eventually they transition to be responsible citizens and have their own families. And that's wonderful, but the message that is received in chapter 17, and we'll back up to chapter 12 when all this unfolds, is something special is going to happen with Abram and Sarai. And that is the father of and the mother of all nations, all kingdoms, would come from them and they'd be blessed. Maybe she thought that it'd be something like this. I don't even can read that. It's not the best of pictures, but I decided to check this out. It says, Valentina Vasilyeva, I'm not saying that right, from Russia, holds the record for the number of children born. She had babies, pregnancies from 1725 to 1765. She had a total of, get this, 69 children. That includes 16 pairs of twins. Woo-hoo! That doesn't end there. 7 sets of triplets. And yes, 4 sets of quadruplets. Oh, the dear lady. My goodness. Maybe Sarah's thinking, if this happens, we can populate and have and be the mother of nations. But we also know that in Hebrews chapter 11, she is listed at Hall of Fame of Faith. Those who are mentioned there. And says, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received the power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She considered God faithful. I don't know about you, but making it to that Hall of Fame of Faith is pretty incredible. You look at the list of names that are there, and then you think about maybe Hall of Fames of, my mind goes to sports, you know, to baseball or to football or to basketball or to tennis or to golf. How is it? What's the criteria to make it? I don't know if you notice or not, but for baseball, you had to have played at least 10 seasons. So you play 10 seasons, you're eligible. You're only eligible only 5 years after you retire from the sport. And then there's a screening committee that will review all those who are eligible and put those names up for nominations. Now, there are some names in baseball, like Pete Rose, who is automatically banned because he's permanently ineligible due to some gambling habits he had as a coach, not as a player. So some of you may come and talk to me afterwards. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. Do you remember his nickname, by the way? Who remembers Pete Rose's nickname? Anybody? Of what he would remember. What was it? Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle. He never gave up, never took a playoff, right? Just ran, and ran hard and stuff. And of course, a player like Shoeless Joe Jackson was considered to be a great player, but was involved in the Black Sox scandal in 1919, if you remember that, historically. You may not have been there, but So Sarah's listed in this Hall of Fame of Faith, and she is a first-time, you know, nominee and makes it in there. That's easy because of what she went through. But if you think about her life, and we go through her life and her experiences, you're going to see something that's going to be, I think, identifiable with us. Because sometimes we have this idea that is people listed there are just, you know, they just joined on with God, God called them, and they're just, they're on fire for whatever God called them to do. But we know in that list, there are many people we consider to be imperfect, and Sarah is one of them. But I think it's important for us to understand that journey along the way. See, the enemy is going to tell you when you hit those bumps in the road, when you hit those problems and those difficulties, that you're not worthy of salvation. You're not worthy to be called a child of God. You're not, and he'll try to put those doubts, and we may even examine people and see like, why would God ever choose someone like this? So yeah, life is, as they say, a journey. It bumps in the roads, ups and downs. But Sarah considered him faithful who had promised. We'll look at this, and we're going to go back to chapter 12. So before we start the reading from chapter 12, understand that Terah, that would be Abram's father, he had taken his father Terah, Abram, Sarai is Abram's wife, and Lot, the nephew of Abram, his grandson, they'd taken him from the land of the Chaldeans, modern day Iraq, and headed to the promised land, to Canaan. He got, I don't say halfway, maybe a little more than halfway there, and stopped in a place called Haran. And it says this, Terah dies, and then in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says this, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's amazing, isn't it? To all of a sudden get that call, because he's just living his life. He was living in this one area, and dad says, hey, you, your wife, and Lot were heading to Canaan. They only get so far, and they stop. And they settle there. He could stay right here, but now the Lord says that. Doesn't that sound familiar? Something we read in the New Testament? Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God's mandate. Just seems that he's not okay with where Abram is, and I'm sure he's not okay with us just where we are in our walk and just pressing on, moving forward. And so we see that he is called, and listen to this, he is called to go, and he is to go, and he says he's going to be made a great nation, and he will be blessed, and it will be a blessing to others. Where's Sarai, his wife, when this happens? Well, you read in there, I don't see her name at all. So it seems that God spoke directly to Abram. Okay? That's what he does. He speaks directly to Abram. So it's Abram's responsibility then to express to his wife and to Lot what the Lord had said and what they're going to do, the plan. So track this, because this is important as this story unfolds. We're going to jump to chapter 15, because what we have in the chapters to follow before this, and that is Lot and Abram separate because the land cannot hold the two of them, just not enough space. And eventually, Abram has to rescue Lot. And that leads us into chapter 15. The Lord has not forgotten. So he says, I am going to bless you. You're going to be the father of nations. Everyone will be blessed because of you, the father of our faith. And we read this starting in verse 1. And this is the chapter where the covenant is established. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." He points out something really important to the Lord. And by the way, in chapter 11, it's pointed out, and it's going to be said again and again, and that is Sarai is barren. She cannot have children. She's not able to, and she's moves beyond the childbearing years. So Abram asked this very important question. "You've not given me any offspring." And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." See, that's his human reasoning. "Lord, you promised me this a little while ago, and we're not having children. We're getting older. He's 75. His wife is 65 at this point. And so what's going to take place? What's going to happen?" And he says, "There's going to be someone from his family, not him, who's going to take over this. It's not going to come from him like the Lord had said." And so what ends up taking place, and that is the Lord promises that he will do this, and then we have the covenant established where the Lord tells him to this sign that will take place, to get a heifer, to get a female goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon, to gather them, to cut the larger ones in half, to lay them across from, and the Lord went between them, establishing this covenant. Basically saying, Lord saying, if I don't fulfill this, this would happen to me. And then we get into chapter 16. And it says this, "And Sarai said to Abram, Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her." See, now she's thinking of surrogacy, or first event of that happening, where she's thinking, because she is a slave to me, a servant to me, I can have her then have offspring with my husband, and that child will be mine. That's how we'll do this. And we also read that Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. So here she is implementing something. 10 years have gone by. 10 years when she heard that Abram would be the father of nations. Nothing said about her, and she has not been able to conceive. We know 65 years old, she's barren. Now she's 75 years old. Do the math. He's 85. Well, something's got to get done. Got to move it along. So she implements this plan. How many times have we decided to implement our own plan, our own way of thinking, because the Lord needs some help? The Lord needs some guidance. The Lord needs whatever it is, and he's gonna just, you know, bless whatever I decide. So she comes up with this idea. The sad part is, and that is, when we conjure up our own ideas and we go our own way, and we don't follow the Lord's path, we regret it immediately. What a dumb decision. How foolish. What was I thinking? And that's what we're going to see from Sarai because of this. "And Sarai said to Abram, May the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt." So we find out right before this passage that Sarai gives to Abram, his servant. They have an intimacy one time, the very first time, and she conceives. How many times? You can't count the number of times that Abram and Sarai tried to have a child, and it just doesn't work. Boy, how would you feel if you're in Sarai's shoes? Are you kidding me, Lord? Are you serious? You gotta be, it just has to be a horrible dream one time. And not only that, but now Hagar, the servant, is looking at her with contempt. We kind of see this with Hannah. If you remember that story with Hannah, with the two wives, and the other wife was able to conceive children, and mocking and making fun of Hannah because she could not conceive. And Hagar is now looking at Sarai in a way that is just demoralizing. And so she says this, and that is, Sarai, may the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarai, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. Yikes. Boy, write the scriptures. If you were an unbeliever, if you think this was made up by man, I think you try to eliminate these rough patches of this woman who said she considered God to be faithful. And while she's in the Hall of Fame of faith, she considered God to be faithful when she was unable to bear children. And now Abram, her wife, says, that's your servant. Treat her however you want to be, how you want to treat her. What does she do? We don't know. It's not recorded, but it says other than treats her harshly. Harshly enough that Hagar runs from this situation. She flees. She's like, I am out of here. I cannot take this abuse. Whether Sarai is saying things to her, whether she's throwing things at her, she is making her life miserable. And I said to you, sometimes we make those decisions where we decide that we're going to do it our own way and we come back to regret it. And I want to just, this is my analysis of it mentally. I think that Sarai is upset. And it's probably upset not so much with a servant, but with her, because she came up with a really foolish plan. And guess what? Her plan worked. And now the slave girl is going to have a child who could be the blessing. They don't know how this is going to unfold as we get into chapter 17 in just a little bit. But we see that she is so mad, so angry with it, that she can't stand Hagar, hates her, despises her, and treats her so badly that it causes her to leave. I want you to think for a moment and be honest with yourself. How many times have you made a foolish decision? How many times did you decide something and it worked out the way that you wanted? But you realize God's not part of this. It's all on you. And it doesn't glorify God. As a matter of fact, it may dishonor him. And you get mad about it. And you take it out on. Take it on your loved one. Take it on your children. You take it on your coworker. You take it out on somebody else. But the reality is for you to be honest with God and be honest with yourself. And say, how did I get in this predicament? Well, my wife made me. My husband made me. My kids made me. My coworker made me. We can have all the excuses in the world. But truth is, I did it. I did it. And she's the one who made that decision. And she's the one given approval by her husband to treat another human being so badly. That causes that person to just head off to where? In the middle of nowhere. And the Lord had spoken to her, promised Hagar what would happen with this baby, who become Ishmael. And so this journey in life, I want you to understand, when this journey of faith that we're on, there are times when things will go well for us, maybe not go so well. The point is, can we stop and examine and look at, confess our sins, acknowledge our shortcomings, admit to the Lord, get the help that we need, and move forward in the right way that's going to honor God. And so we see in chapter 17 this. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. He has one son, and it's not from his wife. It's Ishmael, who's now 13 years old. He has him when he's 86. He's now 99. 24 years have gone by. 24 years of waiting. 24 years of trying. 24 years of, we just can't. We are unable to physically have a child. And maybe you start wondering, questioning, with Sarai and with Abram, did I hear the Lord right? Did you understand what the Lord said to you? What exactly is going on? And what we have established in chapter 17, that Abram will fulfill, that his name will be changed, and shortly we'll cover that, and that is circumcision. Circumcision, a sign, a physical sign that demonstrates establishment of the covenant that God is going to bless Abram. In verse 3, I don't have it up here. In verse 3, it says this, that then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I've made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I'll make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. He reiterates this again and again. But he doesn't have a son with Sarai. So his thinking is, it's going to be with Ishmael. So the sign of circumcision is fulfilled. He does this, but then we get to this part that was read. Now listen to this. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Now again, where's Sarah in this? Is she near him? She does not hear a word of this. All the times the Lord has spoken to and promised that we see in chapter 12, we see in chapter 15, and now we see in chapter 17, this is the Lord speaking. And I'm wondering if Sarah's thinking the same thing. I wonder if Abraham's thinking the same thing, that it's going to be through Ishmael. But God says, for Sarai, he gets very specific. God, pay attention to this. He says, I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. See, maybe the Lord's not really familiar. Maybe God's been too busy taking care of other things and realize what's going on, because the fact that Abram is 99 years old, she is now 89 years old. They are beyond being able to have children. And then we read this. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Because if she gets pregnant, that's how old it'll be when she has the baby. Shall Sarah, who, by the way, do you notice the name has changed? And he goes along with it, though. He doesn't go right back and revert. Oh, yeah, you changed her name. He calls her by the right name. Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Come on, Lord. Really? And Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And then we have this. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him, and as an everlasting covenant for for his offspring after him. Sarah is going to have the baby. Sarah is going to give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name Isaac. That's what's going to happen. A great miracle is going to take place. Now, I just want to pause for a moment here before I read the last scripture, which is when God fulfills this. I want you to come back for a moment to the time when Sarah is unable to have the baby, and up to this point, she has been unable to, but she implemented a plan. When is it that we implement a plan? That we decide to deviate from what God's word says, or maybe what God's telling us, or what God has told Abram. When do we decide that it's time to, you know, change, take things upon ourselves, do our own thing? When is that? Well, time's a factor, isn't it? She's waited at that point in time when, 10 years had gone by when she decides to offer up her slave girl to Abram. Time's a factor. Stress is a factor. There are many things that can come in that can cause us worry, negative thoughts, that we decide that instead of obeying and being patient, be still and know that He is God, instead of that, we decide to get active and put in place a plan that's going to help the Lord out or move things along in the way that we think it's going to. And even up to this point in time, Abraham is saying to the Lord, look, it's easiest if we just use Ishmael. That's the way it should work out. And the Lord says, no, that's not the way it's going to work out. So before we get too harsh with Sarai and think, boy, why, how could she think that? Think about those times when you decided to go rogue, do your own thing, implement your own policies and practices. When does it happen? Time? Stress? You're waiting for that prayer to be answered. You're waiting for something to take place. You know, you're receiving, you're getting anxiety over, and you're deciding that I have to put in place my own plan instead of what God's word says to do. And the Lord had spoken to Abram, now Abraham, changed things and says, your wife, Sarah, is going to have this. And then we see in chapter 21, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son, whom was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And of course, that means laughter. One thing I do want to point out, side note before I wrap this up, and that is, when he's weaned, when it's about 3 years of age or so, there's a celebration of sorts. And Ishmael is 13, 14. And what happens is that Abraham wants to do something special. And it's Ishmael who looks at Isaac and scoffs at him, ridicules him. And Sarah's not having it. And she says, take that son and that lady, and have them removed. And Abraham loves his son Ishmael. He's stressed over it. And the Lord steps in. Remember before the Lord stepped in and said, if you remember the story, said that when Hagar ran off, said, you go back and you serve. Even though she's treating harshly, you go back and serve. This time, when Sarah says, remove them to Abraham, he doesn't want to do it. And the Lord speaks to him and says, do what Sarah says. Send them off. And he does. And the reason why? And that is because the inheritance, the blessing, is going to come through not Ishmael. It's going to come through Isaac. And that's how it's going to unfold. So let me just wrap this up in this way. So we see that she is what's been promised to be the mother of nations. We see God fulfilling that. God used a common couple, and in particular, a barren woman, to accomplish his purpose that he had in mind when it comes to the salvation of mankind. Sarah is in the Hall of Fame of Faith not because she was perfect in her walk and never made a mistake, but that she was faithful to God, trusting and knowing that he is faithful. So she considered him faithful to do what he had promised. It wasn't without its hiccups. It wasn't without its mistakes. It wasn't without her shortcomings. But that is the reality of life. And so maybe you find yourself frustrated. Maybe you find yourself in that moment in time, like Sarah, thinking like, I am bothered by because I don't hear God's voice. I don't know which way to go. And, you know, time's been going on. Please don't take action upon yourself, but to lean upon God's word and his people, have them pray with you and help you during this difficult moment in time. Because life, it would be great if our faith, when we became a Christian, just go nice and smoothly uphill. But as you know, it goes up, and we have those rocky waves, and it goes up again, because that's just the reality of it. So if you're going through a hiccup, a difficulty, a hardship, he'd love to pray for you. Or if you want to surrender your will to his will and give your life over to Christ, be baptized into Christ, you can do that today. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?